Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and we are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. And this is a telephone call-in show, and our telephone number is 801-973-TV20. It's 801-973-8820. We do invite your telephone calls this evening. And if you would prefer to email your comments or questions, you can do so by sending your email to tv@aboutpolygamy.com. Our show is seen on Sunday afternoons on a delayed broadcast in the Boise, Nampa, Idaho area on KCLP Channel 18 from 4 until 5 p.m. And our live streaming video allows our viewers from around the globe to watch from our website, whatloveisthis.tv, as well as all of our previous shows can also be watched from that same website. And to learn more about our ministry to polygamists, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. If you're in a polygamy group, we would love to help you, would love to talk to you and answer any questions. We do have a toll-free hotline. The number is 877-425-9993. We do offer you hope and a support system and non-judgmental help. We don't try to force you into anything, but we love to share biblical truths with you. When we replace the lies that we were raised with in this culture, it's the most important thing is to replace those lies with truths, and that's what we want to do. That's a very important part of our healing and overcoming from our past life. And we do have a discussion support group. It's called Life After Polygamy. And our next meeting is Monday, April 25th. We had this month's meeting last Monday. And if you are in a polygamy group, excuse me, or have been in one, you're invited to come. If you're afraid to come and join a group like this, and I know polygamy groups do and still fear, we can meet with you privately. I'd love to meet with you privately, maybe over lunch or something, get to know each other. We welcome people from various polygamy groups around the area, and we want to share our stories and our victories. So give us a call and we can give you more information about our support group. Last December, and also on February 3rd of this year, we specifically asked and invited former Mormon Kay Brown to be our guest on the show so that we could discuss her upcoming book, Born Again Truths, and what part that polygamy and other false doctrine had in her decision to leave Mormonism. We love to share the stories of people who have discovered biblical truths. Often they'll write their stories in books or pamphlet or place them on the web, and however they do it, we are excited to help them promote truth to this culture. Well, Kay Brown was no exception. Many of our viewers expressed gratefulness for the opportunity to hear her story, and they've been waiting patiently for her book to come out. Well, it's now available, so viewers can now get her book and read her story. It's entitled Born Again Truths. It's available on Amazon.com and also on BarnesandNoble.com. And again, we want to thank Kay Brown for sharing and for caring enough to publish her story, giving further opportunity for even more people to discover what she has found in the biblical Jesus Christ. And our disclaimer for the night is, please remember that as we discuss issues on our show, that doctrinally polygamists are Mormons too. When Mormons complain that we're targeting them on this show, we want you to know that we are merely targeting the doctrine that began with Joseph Smith, who is the prophet of both the Mormon fundamentalists and the Mormons. Orson Pratt wrote a book entitled The Seer, and on page 173, Orson Pratt wrote this, and I quote, "Parents who have daughters should seek to instill into their minds that it is just as honorable for them to be united in marriage to a good man who is already a husband as to one that is single end quote. Now, Orson Pratt is advising his polygamous readers here to teach their daughters that adultery is okay. It says it's all right to marry a man who's already married. Now, Jesus warned us against anyone who teaches the children to go astray, which is precisely what Orson Pratt is doing. All the other Mormon polygamous leaders, as well as the current leaderships of polygamy groups, also did that. But it is never okay to go against God's commands. And God will never command us to do something that He's already prohibited. And marrying a man who is already married is adultery. A rose by any other name is still called a rose. And the seventh commandment is still there, the seventh of the ten, that says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Actually, Jesus took it as deep as the level of the heart when he said that if a man even looks at a woman with lust, he is committing adultery with her in his heart. It's a very narrow margin. And biblically, there is no excuse and there is no mandate for polygamy. It just ain't there. Mormon polygamy began in the early 1830s when Joseph Smith reportedly received a revelation that polygamy, which they called celestial marriage, became an essential for the salvation and the exaltation of man. Subsequent Mormon presidents preached and practiced polygamy for salvation. John Taylor claimed that he had a vision in 1886 where he was commanded to see to it that not a single year went by that a child wasn't born under the covenant of celestial marriage, which is polygamy, according to Joseph Smith. John Taylor gave John W. Woolley authority to perform celestial marriages, which is polygamy. His son, Lauren C. Woolley, was leader of a group of polygamists from 1929 to 1934. And he created a council of friends, which included six men, and they were called high priests. From that group of people, the community of Short Creek was formed, which is now the FLDS polygamy group, which is located on the border towns of Colorado City and Hilldale, Utah. In 1958, the town of Hilldale was established, which is part and parcel of the Short Creek community. And in 1961, Short Creek was renamed to Colorado City, Arizona. Now, that's just kind of a short history of those towns, the polygamous towns down there on the border. Now, the leader of the FLDS polygamy group today is the infamous Warren Jeffs. But just like what has happened with the Mormon Mother Church, many of today's Mormon fundamentalists have splintered off the original Short Creek group, and just like the Mother Church, each of them claim that they are the only true church. And so we wonder how many churches are now the only true church. In 1935, the leader of the FLDS Broadbent died, and John Barlow was named the next leader. But some people thought that Eldon Kingston should have been named the leader. So he had his own personal revelation about himself and went off and started his own group. He went up to Bountiful and he incorporated as the Davis County Cooperative Society. But we're going to tell the rest of the Kingston story on another show. Now, the polygamists in Canada, they're just over the border of Idaho. And eventually, they became affiliated with the Short Creek group. And through the years, the group in Canada and the group here in the United States have frequently trafficked underage girls and women across those international borders for the specified purpose of sexual relationship in illegal polygamist marriages, all in the name of God. Now, to many polygamists, this activity is okay. But to the rest of them and to mainstream society, it is repulsive, it's abusive, and it steals the youth and the free agency of these young girls. Rulon Jeffs was the leader of the FLDS from 1986 to 2002, and he was the father of the current president, Rulon Jeffs. Some accounts claim that Rulon Jeffs had at least 50 wives. Some say he had as many as 80 and over 60 children. We have a photo here on the screen of Ruland Jeffs in his old age as he proudly poses with two of his child brides. Well, Ruland Jeffs died in 2002 at the age of 92 years old, and his son, Warren Jeffs, took his place as the leader of the FLDS. Warren Jeffs married several of his father's widows, which made him the stepfather of some of his brothers. The FLDS believe that a man must have at least three wives to make it to heaven, but the more wives, the better. Well, Warren Jeffs is estimated to have somewhere between 70 and 80 wives. Don't know how many for sure. And that includes Naomi, who is his favorite wife. Now, Naomi had married his father, Ruland Jeffs, when he was 90 years old and she was only 17 years old. And all this despite the fact that God prohibits such marriages. I want to quote Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 20, and then 22 and 23, where it says, "Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Amen." Now, amen means, I agree. The people are to agree to God's commands. They are to uphold God's laws, not support them who disobey the laws. So we wonder, can God command something that He has very obviously cursed? We're constantly being attacked and accused of spouting anti-Mormon doctrine on this show. And I wonder how we can be called that when we're merely comparing doctrine like this, biblical doctrine, with the kinds of things that is being practiced, was practiced in early Mormonism, and is being practiced today in Mormon fundamentalism. Recently, there's been more evidence that surfaced that Warren Jeffs has transported several girls as young as 12 years of age from Canada to the United States for plural marriages to himself and to other polygamous men in the FLDS. Again, lying and coercion about polygamy and taking very young girls as plural wives began with its beginner, and that's Joseph Smith. So how can we expect better behavior from Joseph Smith's polygamous followers? I want to read, and this is just a long article, but I'm only going to read a paragraph of what's going on now. This came 3 days ago over the internet from the VancouverSun.com. It's an article they wrote about these girls that's being transported. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police is trying to verify a list of 31 girls aged 12 to 17 years who over a 10-year period are alleged to have been transported by their fathers and brothers between Canada and the United States for religious marriages to older men. If the list is verified and charges laid, it would be one of Canada's largest cases of cross-border smuggling of humans. That's what we're up against. And I'd like to also read part of an article that was written February 25th in the Associated Press by Jennifer Dobner, and this is what she said, quote, "An affidavit is filed in a Canadian court case which shows 9 teenage girls may have been brought from Canada to the United States to marry jailed polygamous sect leader Warren Jeffs and other men from his church. At least 3 of the girls were married to Warren Jeffs, 2 of them were 12 years old, and 1 of them was 13. Now for the icky part of this story. Warren Jeffs kept written notes of the progress of the transportation of these young girls from Canada to Colorado City. And to quote part of his notes, as he was eagerly awaiting delivery of these young brides, I want to quote some of what he said. He said, "We was about 3 hours away from Short Creek at 11 p.m. I gave instructions that they keep the 2 girls in hiding and not let them out and about among the people. I am seeking of the Lord what to do. that these girls will be protected and that we can connect with them undetected. This has been a great yearning of my heart all day long, that the Lord would preserve these people in their travels and not let our enemies discover them, end quote. Well, he's doing his best to keep his illegal activities undetected and top secret. He wrote a message to his favorite wife, Naomi, concerning the upcoming polygamous marriages to these young girls, and this is what he wrote to her. Quote, Naomi, you are smiling. I am smiling. I rejoice in the Lord's will. These young girls have been given to me to be taught and trained from their youngest years before they go through teenage doubting and fears and boy troubles. And then he says, I will just be their boy trouble and guide them right. The Lord helping me, I will need to work with them more, end quote. So Warren Jeff says that he will just be their boy trouble. Well, he sure was. And he's waiting it out in jail right now because of that. You know, he calculates to take them young before they can even begin to think and feel for themselves. And the most disturbing part of the whole thing is that he calls upon God to do these awful things to these young, innocent, and naive little girls. God's love never covers that kind of stuff. When the marriage ceremony was performed, Warren Jeffs wrote this, quote, I had their father's permission and the Lord's direction. The two marriages were performed for time and eternity. We felt a powerful spirit of peace and received that burning witness of burning peace. All present received that peace, end quote. So Warren Jeffs kept detailed records of trafficking young girls with parental consent across international borders. His agenda was plural marriage, and not a single finger was lifted by the authorities to help these poor innocent girls. Now, I want to bring your attention to Warren Jeff's remarks about this great burning witness of burning peace, and everyone present also experienced this burning peace during and after the illegal ceremony. The Bible talks a whole bunch about burning hell, but it never talks about burning peace. The sensation of burning peace is not the barometer for truth. Yet this culture assumes that the feeling of peace and burning sensation are their proof that they're in the right church. But this couldn't be further from the truth. I wish I had the words to properly express how spiritually dangerous and disastrous this idea really is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and Jesus will give us peace. But God will never act outside of the only measure that He has provided for truth, and that is the Bible. And remember that people acting against God's will can also experience peace. The same peace that Warren Jeffs claimed he felt while he was being married to these young 12-year-old girls. And you might say, well, he couldn't be experiencing God's true peace like I do. Well, how do you know? And how is your peace measured? It is possible to experience peace while you are in rebellion to God's will. Jonah ran away when God called him to preach to Nineveh. In fact, he ran in the opposite direction of Nineveh. Jonah found a ship. He paid his fare. He got on board. He went downstairs. He found a corner. He fell into a deep and peaceful sleep. God sent a great big storm to wake him up. And he slept through the storm until somebody finally went down there and woke him up. But he was totally in rebellion and disobedience to God's commands. So be careful by what you measure truth. Feelings are never the measurement for truth. Warren Jeffs experienced that peace while he was preparing himself and his 12-year-old bride for the marriage bed. I believe the legal system calls that pedophiles. And prophets are not pedophiles. Prophets of God are not pedophiles. But then I've heard of an earlier polygamist who did much of what Warren Jeffs has done. That particular polygamist married two mother and daughter pairs, a practice that God condemned. Among his 34 wives, he married as plural wives two 19-year-old girls. He also married 17-year-old Sarah Ann Whitney, 17-year-old Lucy Walker, and 17-year-old Sarah Lawrence, and 16-year-old Flora Ann Woodworth, and 14-year-old Nancy Winchester, and 14-year-old Helen Marr Kimball. And the man who married these young girls was 37 and 38 years old at the times of the marriages, almost three times the age of the 14-year-old girls. And this man who laid the track, pioneering plural marriages to young, innocent, naive little girls, was none other than Joseph Smith. All this is well-documented history. It's there. The details are there. It's in Mormon history. The footnotes, the journal entries, the references, they're all there. For once in your life, do what God told you to do and check it out. And history does not support the idea or the excuse that in those days, the girls generally married at that young of an age. History disproves that. In fact, during the 1800s, the average age for a female to marry was about 21 years of age. You can go to the following website and you can find this information. There's a graph there on the screen that is at this website, and it shows you the graph of the average age of women through the centuries of the years of when they got married. And the graph that you, or the website you should go to, is www.wivesofjosephsmith.org/age. And you'll find a lot of information, including this graph. Now, before Warren Jeffs can be condemned for his polygamist activities, we must first take a long look at those who came before him, the one who started this polygamy mess. And we should ask, why would God give commandments to do things like polygamy that he has already prohibited, even condemned? Warren Jeffs was not only a prodigious polygamist, he also claims to be, and he is revered as, a prophet of God. Because God knew that human beings are so easily deceived, he gave us comprehensive warnings about who and what to look for when people claim to be prophets of God. God's grace is mighty to protect those who will trust in him for every single aspect of our lives, and that includes protection from false prophets. And we can determine every so-called prophet just by putting him up to and judging him according to the test that God has given. In any part of the prophet, if any part of the prophecy this person gives doesn't come true, he's a false prophet. And God said, don't be afraid of him. Pay no attention to him. Warren Jeffs has a disastrous track record of false prophecies. Before the 2002 Olympics, Jeffs warned that Salt Lake City would be destroyed. He predicted that this destruction would come to Salt Lake City first because the Mormon Church's headquarters are here, and that the FLDS people all needed to move to the Colorado City Hilldale border towns if they wanted to be saved from this destruction. Well, the faithful FLDS, they gave up jobs, they gave up property and assets, and they all fled to Colorado City to avoid the destruction. Destruction didn't come. Warren Jeffs is a false prophet. Again, following in the footsteps of the first Mormon polygamist prophet, who gave at least 53 prophecies that did not come to pass precisely as written down. Remember, every single detail of every prophecy must come to pass precisely as given, or it's a false prophecy. Warren Jeffs also prophesied that his father, Reuelen Jeffs, would be the last prophet on the earth. Reuelen Jeffs is dead, and Warren Jeffs is now their prophet. Obviously, that was also a false prophecy. Warren Jeffs prophesied that after his father died, he'd come back, he'd be renewed and have more children. Now, he had dozens of wives when he died, and some of them were very young girls. And he admonished them to be ready for him when he come back, and they would have babies and have their families again. Well, sadly, these young brides put together baby cribs and baby clothing and got it all together, getting ready for when Reuel Jeffs would come back. But Warren was wrong. His father was not renewed. He didn't come back. Reuel Jeffs is still in the grave. And Warren Jeffs himself took his father's young brides for himself. Now, we've talked many times before on this show about the biblical warning that God gave early in the history of mankind, found in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 20 through 22, how to detect a false prophet. It says, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?" Now this is the test, folks. "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." This is God's command, his warning, his test for false prophets. We shouldn't take that lightly, folks. We urge you, don't trust eternity on something or someone that's been proven false. Warren Jeffs confessed while he was in jail in 2007 that he wasn't the prophet. Before he made his confession, he had a revelation that his wife Naomi was dead. He was even beginning to plan to hold her funeral in Texas. I have an article here. Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about this prophecy. It says, "Warren Jeffs prophesied the death of Naomi Jessup, perhaps his most favorite wife, on January 16, 2007, while in jail in Washington County, Utah, as he awaited trial on charges of rape as an accomplice. Then, a mere 2 days later, Jeff said the Lord awakened him and told him that Naomi had indeed been taken in death and that she was with the Lord at that time. The problem was, Naomi Jessup was still very much alive." He said God told him that he would be taking Naomi, but God didn't take Naomi. She didn't die. She's still alive today. Another obvious proof that Warren Jeffs is a false prophet. Now, many people will observe that perhaps this failed prophecy may have been the crisis that precipitated his confession of not being the FLDS true prophet. But it seems that followers didn't take his confession seriously anyway. They continue to revere him as a prophet. They don't even take his false prophecies seriously. There's a website right now that I'd like to recommend to you. It's www.myeldorado.net. It's a very good website. You're going to find interesting information and up-to-date trial information on the FLDS in El Dorado, Texas, as well as all kinds of excellent video and other informative current and historical events. That's myeldorado.net. They do bring up-to-date information on polygamy, especially in the YFC Ranch polygamy down there in El Dorado. So bookmark the website and check it frequently. You'll find a lot of information. Well, Warren Jeffs also had visions that he was and would atone for others. Warren's God tells him that he can atone through his heavenly sessions. But Jesus Christ has already atoned for our sins. And there is no one who pays for our sins but Jesus Christ and Him alone. In February of 2003, Naomi claimed that she had a dream that Warren Jeffs was the Savior of the world. Of course, we only have one Savior. That's Jesus Christ. Now, you may shrug this dream of Naomi's off as being meaningless, but zealous Mormons, including fundamentalists, place a lot of faith and reliance on their dreams. As a result, We wonder how many blind people are following the blind, believing that Warren Jeffs is something he is not. Don't be afraid of a false prophet. A false prophet may even be able to perform miracles. God warns us about that. You can find in the Old Testament several instances where people who weren't real prophets did miracles. And read in Revelation chapter 13 about the Antichrist, all kinds of miracles he's going to be able to do. But God warns us about them as well. Deuteronomy chapter 13 verses 1 through 4 says this, "If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of what he has spoken takes place, and he says, 'Let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them,' you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him." But this culture does follow after different gods. Jesus Christ is our only God, the only God. He's the only living prophet. He's the only priest. But this culture, they follow different prophet, a different God. They hold fast to doctrines of men instead of the teachings of God. They believe and teach the serpent's lie that he told Eve in the Garden of Eden, that they can become like God. We are not to remain in a group of people conspicuously led by false prophets. God said, don't listen, don't follow, and don't be afraid of them. I have a little bit more to go, but I'll open the phone lines right now. Our phone number is 801-973-8820. You can begin calling in, and I'll answer the phone calls in just a minute. But I have another false prophecy that Jeff's prophesied when they were building down in the YFC ranch. He prophesied that the rock at the ranch in El Dorado would cut like butter. It didn't. He said that God gave him a special formula for cement for putting up the tiles on the temple. That formula didn't work. They had to use the old formula. The standard answer to false prophecies have been, well, the people just weren't good enough, or they didn't have enough faith, or the people weren't ready, and several other excuses that they have for blaming the people for the failed prophecy instead of the prophet. Well, God's prophecies do not depend upon the faith of the people for fulfillment. God is faithful. He will do what he says he will do, when he says he will do it, and exactly how he says he will do it. Many people argue that God didn't fulfill the prophecy through Jonah to destroy Nineveh, and those who use that excuse for Joseph Smith's failed prophecies are in error because they do not know the scriptures and they do not know God's promises. And in making those excuses, they're admitting that Joseph Smith did have failed prophecies. The destruction of Nineveh didn't happen because God was being true to his word, as we read in the verses in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 and 8, where God said, "If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." Now, the passage in Jonah proves my point. Jonah chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, the king of Nineveh said to the people, quote, "Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened." Jonah warned Nineveh that God was going to destroy them, but God didn't destroy them as Jonah had warned. But why? Because God had already revealed himself as being a God of forgiveness. They repented. So God was faithful to his word when he relented. There are no parallel examples of this event to excuse any of Joseph Smith's failed prophecies or of Warren Jeffs' failed prophecies or of any other of the Mormon leadership or prophets whose prophecies have failed. And finally, earlier this month, from his jail cell, Warren Jeffs sent a doomsday warning to President Obama. This warning ended up on the desks of at least 600 heads of state, and it weighed in at 3 pounds. It was entitled, A Warning to the Nation. And I'm going to read part of this. It says, as Jeffs awaits trial on child sexual assault and bigamy, members of the FLDS are struggling to pay his thousands of dollars in attorney fees. They live in poverty and suffer his condemnation, but they don't ask questions. They believe Jeffs holds the key to Zion. And by the way, no one holds the key to Zion. A rambling 900-page warning recently sent from Jeffs to President Obama may signal this desperation. A bizarre proclamation landed on the desks of at least 600 heads of state 2 weeks ago. It's entitled A Warning to the Nation, and in it, Warren Jeffs, self-proclaimed prophet, challenged the United States government. He claimed he was a prophet. He challenged the government. He said, let my people go. Now that's original, isn't it? He wants to be released from jail so that he can plan for the end of the world. His letter was signed by thousands of the FLDS church members. Jeff's promised that God would destroy the wicked with a devastating earthquake, a shaking of the earth, and to the loss of many lives. And he said that the place that this would begin is in Illinois, which is the home state of our president. Reportedly, Jeff's claimed to have predicted Hurricane Katrina and said if this earthquake didn't work, then God would send a great storm again to cripple the nation. Jeff's has already proven to be a false prophet. His prophecies fail every time. But if you really want to read about the coming judgment of God, you can go to the biblical book of Revelation and read about all that will indeed take place at God's already predetermined timetable. Jeffs has proven to be a false prophet, but the Bible has never failed in any of its prophecies. It has a 100% perfect track record. So whom should we believe? Someone said the Old Testament prophesied over 300 times the first coming of Jesus Christ, and every single prophecy came true exactly as it was prophesied. And there are over 500 prophecies of Jesus Christ's second coming. What do you suppose the chances are that they'll all come true precisely as prophesied? On whom or what are you going to hang your eternity? On proven truth or proven error? And to the young folks who are watching our show tonight, don't be afraid to study everything you've been taught. It's your eternity. It isn't someone else's eternity. It's not your father or your mother's. It's not mine. It's not your wife's or your husband. It's not your prophet's eternity. It's yours. Check it out, for heaven's sakes. God commands you to check out everything that you're taught. He tells you not to follow blindly, but to search for God's truths. And God promised that if you search for Him, if you search truly and honestly, seeking His truths, you'll find them. But you must seek for God's truths, not for what you want to believe. Be careful that you aren't deceived and that you're not self-deceived. Now, we'll go to the phones now. It looks like we've got some phone calls waiting. And we'll take calls from people that don't agree with us. But remember that we won't tolerate calls that are one-sided diatribes or of those who are angry and who yell at us. So we have on line one, Ellie from Mesquite. Hello, Ellie.
Doris, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Tell you how incredible I think your show is, and it's so enlightening. I'm learning so much from your program. But I wanted to make a comment. I was brought up in the regular LDS Mormon church. I was not brought up in a polygamous family at all. But I remember them grooming the young girls as I was a child, and I think your viewers need to know this too, that it goes on in a regular LDS church. it was during a primary class, they call it primary when you're in elementary school, mm-hmm. that one of the teachers said that some of us girls will grow up to be wives and others will have to be handmaidens. And I asked the teacher, what's a handmaiden? And she said, "It's you'll do the same things for your husband that the wife will do, but you cannot be a wife. You'll just be a handmaiden." I said, "I don't want to be a handmaiden. I want to be a wife." And a teacher said, "Well, you might just have to be a handmaiden." And I remember getting very upset and angry. And I did talk to my mother, who was a Lutheran before she married my father. And she told me, absolutely not. If you want to be a wife, you be a wife. You do not have to be a handmaiden. So I did have that. I am not a Mormon anymore.
Where were you raised?
This happened up near Brigham City, Utah.
Really? Okay. Well, now, a handmaiden in that definition would be a concubine.
Basically, it's the polygamous. They start grooming at a young age. And this is a regular LDS church. This was not a polygamous group. And I want to make that really clear to all the viewers out there. This was a regular Mormon church that was teaching this and to us little girls. And most of the little girls, it just went right over their head. But I became very angry.
That's interesting.
Luckily, I had my mother that was a good balancing for me.
Now, you know there's going to be a lot of LDS people who call in or email and say that you're telling a lie.
No, I am not. I will take whatever lie detector.
Oh, I believe you.
I will, whatever I've got to do.
Yeah.
I've got so many horror stories about the Mormon church that I could go on and on mm-hmm. about. They're very horrible. My sister committed suicide at a young age because being raped. Hmm. By a bishop and one of his, can't remember, councilmen in the church when we were supposed to go once a month to talk to them.
Goodness,
you know, I have some terrible horror stories, and how my other brothers and sisters remain in that religion is beyond me. They don't communicate with me anymore.
Well, they just need to check it out.
The Mormon church is evil.
Yeah, we just need to continue to encourage them to check things out. If they would just do that, maybe we could reach more people for the truth. And thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate your calling and sharing that.
Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless your staff.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Okay, check it out, folks. Check out what you believe. God will never accept you on your innocence because he's told you to check it out, and there's all kinds of resources to do that. Rebecca is calling from Cedar City. Hello, Rebecca.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. You're on the air.
Doris?
Yes.
I am so impressed with your program tonight. I have been praying that you would talk about this for quite a while. My question is, if Warren Jeffs was found guilty for all the things that he's done to all these young girls, why did the state of Utah let him go?
They did it. They let him go on a technicality. There was some kind of a wording that was incorrectly said or missed or deleted or left out when the attorney gave instructions to the jury. That's the only reason he got off.
So, in other words, he's not let go free as of yet, right?
Well, he'd have to be retried in Utah if Utah was going to do that. But he's in jail in Texas now,
As I understood, he was let free here in Utah. But another question that I'm really concerned about is I watch the news a lot, and I heard today where a lot of men have been raping these young girls and stuff, and they've been put in prison for this. I don't understand how this man can actually get away with what he's doing.
Well, he's not getting away with it. He's in jail. He's in jail in Texas awaiting for these to go to court for these charges. He's been in jail in Utah. He's been in jail in Arizona. And now he's in jail in Texas. He was on the 10 most wanted list for the FBI, and he still hasn't faced charges for that yet either. So he's got a long way to go.
I sure hope they get the guy because he's no good, and these people need to realize that he's not.
Well, you know, Jesus died for everybody. He also died for Warren Jeffs, and if Warren Jeffs would turn and repent, God's grace would cover that too.
Right. Well, thank you so much, and I really appreciate the things that you say because they're so true, and I really love watching your program.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate your call.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, and now we have Pat calling from Ogden. Hello, Pat.
Yes?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Doris. My comment is kind of on the same vein as the caller before me. I do not understand why there is such a double standard between the people who are arrested who live out in the community for raping young girls, and you think of all the hundreds of girls that are raped every day in polygamy, and very little is done about that. Is the main Mormon church covering it up because they don't want to acknowledge it? Or?
No, the mainline Mormon church doesn't have anything to do with what's going on internally in these polygamy groups.
No, but I'm saying, does the general society of Mormons try to keep the fact that these girls are being raped undercover, therefore they're not persecuting these guys?
Well, no, that's not quite right either. The polygamy groups themselves keep these atrocious things hidden. A lot of people inside the group don't even know they're going on. I still have family in the Kingston polygamy group, and I'm sure if they knew of any atrocities like that going on, they would say something. But they don't know it, and when somebody goes up to a young girl or a young boy, we had Brent Jeffs on here one time, and he talked about when he was raped by Warren Jeffs, and he was only 5 or 6 years old. And Warren Jeffs told him, "This is what God told me to do, and this is between me and you and God. Don't tell anybody." You know, and so the kids, the girls and the boys, when they're attacked like this, they're threatened with God. So they don't really tell. Now, I know that if a mother was alert, or a father even was alert, they would be able to detect something was wrong if it was going on like that. But, you know, you have to remember that the brainwashing takes place, and there's a lot of dynamics going on inside these groups where things are not as detected like as easily as you might think they are.
Well, do you think that if another state has had as many polygamists as Utah, that it would go unnoticed?
Well, Texas didn't. they grabbed the...
Right, right.
They weren't going to put up with it. It's against the law, and they were going to uphold the law.
Yeah.
And we're grateful for that.
Well, that was kind of my point. But, you know, they did it where we have multiple polygamists in this state, and very mm-hmm. little seems to ever hit the news.
Yeah, it's a can of worms right now, really. They really couldn't possibly prosecute. And besides that, you know, that's not where we're coming from. We don't want to come from the let's go get them with the guns and throw them all in jail. That's not our point. Our point is to get truth to them. If they know, you know, I've heard of polygamist women who have made the remark. They've said, if I knew that I didn't have to live this to go to celestial glory, I would leave tomorrow. And what I want to get to these women and to the boys, and, you know, males are victims too, is to get to them. They don't have to do this to get to celestial glory. Why don't you leave tomorrow? We'll help you. See, that's, we want to educate them and get them to the truth, to discover that God is good. He's loving. He's kind. He's not abusive. God doesn't do
right.
these things. If we can educate them to that, to where they would trust God rather than fear because of what's happened to them, I think that would break through quicker than any jail time.
I just feel like that if the police went in and got some of the head guys, kind of like they have Warren Jeffs, on some of these other polygamous groups, especially some of the ones that aren't so well organized, that you'd have a better chance of reaching these women. It just breaks my heart.
Well, it hasn't given us much better chance with Warren Jeffs. He's been in jail now for several years, and the FLDS still think he's their prophet. They just think they're under these horrendous tests. The women have not left in the droves. There's people that are leaving from time to time in all the groups, but it hasn't really made that much difference in what the people are doing as far as looking at the truth.
Well, Well, I appreciate so much what you do, but my heart just breaks for these girls.
Well, keep breaking and keep praying and ask God to just really move in on their hearts, because He can show them the truth, and that's what we want Him to do. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, we have Mike calling from Salt Lake City. Hello, Mike.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I really like your program.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful thing, and I've been waiting 55 years to see somebody like you come along and bring the truth out. And
well, praise God for the opportunity.
But one thing I would like to make a statement. You know, bigamy, polygamy, welfare fraud, non-support are all illegal in this country and in the laws of this country. You know, the secular people, that young men will have a child with a girl, and he pays child support into the welfare system. If he doesn't, he can't get a driver's license, a hunting license. They will guarantee his wages, and they will put him in jail. Now, these guys down here that got 15, 20 wives, children and everything else, the state is supporting these, and it's running off the back of the taxpayer. So what they're doing is, when the Attorney General says he's not going to prosecute, what he's saying is he's not going to keep the law. And if he's not going to keep the law, what he's doing is just encouraging these people to do it. If these men would have, you know, have to pay for each one of these children, that would pretty much stop them from doing what they're doing if they had to go through the same thing that the general population go through, not being LDS. And I think it's ridiculous that you would, and it's very prejudicial, that you would persecute one man that wasn't LDS and make him pay child support and take away all of his privileges, even to the point of putting him in jail, but for one child. But another man that's had 20 kids and, you know, is receiving food stamps and Medicare, the children should receive this.
Need the help, yes, Mike. But, you know, let me explain to you what's going on with a woman who has left the Kingston group. We had her on the show the first of this year. Her name is Rachel. And she was in the polygamy group. She got out with three kids, and she has been awarded child support by the judge. But you know what? She can't get any help.
The
polygamous women are on their welfare and getting help for their kids, but she can't, and he's not paying the child support like the judge has ordered him to pay, and so she's living in all of this horrible poverty, trying just to keep her nose above water, and it's horrible.
Yes, and you know what? If he was an LDS and he was Catholic and he did that, he would be in jail. He wouldn't have a driver's license. He couldn't go hunting. He couldn't go fishing. They'd be garnishing his wages right now, and that is prejudicial. And that's what the Mormon Church is trying to do, is cover this up. And what they're doing is that they're basically going along with their doctrine, and they're condoning it. It says,
well,
two men walk together unless they agree.
I don't think, I really can't say, Mike, that the Mormon Church is involved in this cover-up. I really can't say that. I have no proof from it. People assume that, but I don't know that it's true.
Well,
but anyway, I appreciate
you. It's very evident if the Attorney General is Mormon, he won't prosecute.
Okay, and I appreciate your call. We got another call to take now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. Bye. Okay, line two, we have Ward in Heber City. Hello, Ward?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay.
And you need to turn your TV down. You need to turn it down.
I have a question. Is why don't they go after the parents that's turning their beautiful daughters over to these pedophiles? If I turn my daughter over to a pedophile, I'd go to jail, and I'll turn off the sound and get your response. Thank you.
Okay, I'm not really sure what he wants me to say. I mean, we've talked about that all night tonight. The parents, so far, we've never had any parents that have been arrested and charged for turning their children over to this kind of treatment, and yet that happens where the mothers will do it or the fathers will do it, and that's because they're following the prophet. The leader of the group is their prophet, and they must do what he tells them to do because God said to do it. Now, a lot of women will leave a polygamy group when they look at their young daughters growing up and they say, she's going to go through the same thing I went through. I cannot handle that. We're gone. And I know several women who've done that. She takes their girls and their kids and they run. But there's others who have been so brainwashed, the fear is so great, they have no resources, they don't even know they could leave. and they're certainly afraid to if they do. Now, how the authorities would ever get a hold of the parents and do that, I don't know, but it is a problem that does need to be dealt with, and I certainly would agree with what he said. We're running down on time now real quickly. I just wanted to read something that somebody said about polygamy hurts men. It says, the math doesn't lie. If 3 men out of 10 take 3 wives each, they leave 1 woman for 7 men. Keep in mind that in most polygamous countries, like the Muslim, sex outside of marriage is illegal with the penalty being death. And so it's unlikely that the last woman would dare to service the other 7 men. The only way to make it fair for a man to have more than 1 legal wife at a time is for the wife or wives to be legally able to have an equal number of husbands. For example, a man takes a 2nd wife. The new wife is now eligible to take another husband, as the original wife is as well. Fair is fair. And I've always said that arithmetic is always the enemy and will always be the enemy of polygamy. And now I would like to make my closing comments based on John chapter 8, verse 24, where Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. You will indeed die in your sins. You know, Jesus, when Jesus came, he knew who he was and he knew why he came. He was the Messiah, but his people didn't want him to be their Messiah. And many people today don't want the biblical Jesus. So they create their own mythical Jesus. And so there are many false Christs, just like Jesus warned us against. But Jesus knew who he was and said so. The demons knew who he was, and they said so. The eyewitnesses that were there knew who Jesus was, and they said so. But it's those who were not the eyewitnesses that claim Jesus was not who he said he was and who the Bible says he is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 says, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Isn't it amazing that it doesn't say celestial marriage is eternal life, or that your church is eternal life, or the United Order, or tithing, or your prophet? None of these are listed as being part of eternal life. Because they're not. No, it's the Son who is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only God anywhere, ever, and everywhere. He humbled himself and became a man so he could become man's Savior, because that's the only way man could be saved. And if you don't believe this, Jesus said, you cannot go where he is. That's the truth as the Bible teaches it. And as always, we suggest that you choose the truth. Thanks for watching our show, and good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes, as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.